sure I get that turned on. I'm bad to get started, Brother Dale, and not get that thing turned on sometimes. Amen. I'm afraid if it turned on too soon, everybody will hear me singing. I want to wait a little bit because there's times I, you know, might turn on too soon. Brother Robert let me do a solo or something like that. Yeah. Amen. It is so good to see y'all this morning. I've really been looking forward to being back in the Lord's house and looking forward to homecoming today, and it's wonderful to see this number. So good to see each of you, and good to see our students with us this morning, and some returning faces. It's so good to see you this morning. I want to welcome you, and I just pray and I trust that the Holy Spirit will make you feel welcome this morning, and He has a special way of doing that, and when He does it, you know it's real, and I appreciate the way He does things in our lives. If you will, let's turn to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15, I want to look at verses 11 through 24. Had a wonderful turnout on Thursday night. Very encouraged about our first CFC meeting. So thankful for that. And I do ask for your continued prayers there. And really enjoyed our Sunday school this morning. And appreciate that. And so for those that are visiting, we'll let you know we have Sunday school for all ages. It starts at 10 a.m. If I get that right. Starts at 10 a.m. preaching. It then starts at 11, like you see right now. We start now, and then today being homecoming, we do have a meal, and everybody is invited to stay afterwards and have a time of fellowship with us and everything. And so I normally, you know, I think historically or traditionally, what have you, usually for homecomings, the pastor usually maybe selects another preacher to come preach, and looking at that, I wasn't sure who might be free to do that, and being last Sunday, I wasn't here preaching. I felt the need to preach this morning, so people know that, hey, we still have a pastor here who preaches and what have you. And so I felt led to be here this morning to preach, and just kind of been studying this week along these lines here and thinking about homecoming and being welcome. And the title this morning is Welcome Home. Welcome Home. I just want you to feel welcome this morning, and even if it's your first time visitor, I want you to feel welcome. And I tell you, I feel at home here. I feel like the Lord has given this to be my home, and I'm very thankful for that. And I can say honestly, there's no place like home. There's really not. When you look at different things, so maybe out and about somewhere and you're away from home. I know some of our students are thinking about being a church family, a home away from home for our students, and I think that's very important. Being able to offer things for people who are what I say like us, believe like us, and what have you, I think it's important to reach out and be a support network for those people so time doesn't get away. And so these different things in my mind and looking at it this week and trying to pray about it, I was getting a little anxious yesterday. As I was thinking, Lord, you haven't really given me something to nail down yet. And I get anxious when it's like that. And I always try to follow Him and want Him to have His way. And me and Brandy were kind of talking about wanting people to feel welcome and what have you. And then I started looking in the Bible and thinking about one of the biggest home welcomings that you'll find in the Bible. Now, this being aside from what you would account for what's to take place present or in the future, when the Lord calls us home for that great home calling in the sky, but here you see a very special welcoming home, one that wasn't anticipated. You have a family situation that's going on here, and it's not really maybe one of the better situations because you'll see the first son, then you'll see the second son. If you're not careful, you'll think the second son was the good son, just like we say the good thief on the cross. No, there was neither good. They both were faced with the same decision. The reason I say that this morning, even though the second son stayed and was there, he didn't really seem to be any closer to his father than the one that had left. I just want you to take note of that. But you'll see a lot, I think, this morning, I trust, in what the Lord has given me this morning. I pray that it'll be a help to you. I pray that it'll help us. Let's read these verses here and we'll pray and we'll get started this morning. Luke 15. And we're looking at verses 11 through 24. And it said here, verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent unto him his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to him, to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, how you teach us, how you love us, how special and how wonderful of a father you are to us, Lord. And God, I just pray that you help us here this morning. God, I know I'm unworthy. God, I need your help every day, every way, Lord. I need your help. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ, God, and ask, God, that you forgive me where I've sinned and failed, God. How great a cause it is to stand to teach and to preach, God. We want people to be helped, and we see that need, God. We have a burden for that. God, I thank you so much for everyone that's here today. God, I pray that you be with each heart. God, I pray that you help them find what they're seeking for, Lord, what their need is. And God, maybe not even realizing that they have a need, God, but I just pray that you bring it to light and that your will be done. God, I pray that you bring the scriptures alive this morning. You help our hearts, help our minds, God, to see it the way you'd have us to see it, and the true importance of it, God, and the historical fact of it, the spiritual fact of it, God. And Lord, I pray for those who are with us today that are lost. God, I pray, Lord, that you touch hearts. God, I pray that you save souls, God, that you convict, God, that your will would be done. Go with us all now, God. Help us, Lord. And again, thank you for all your blessings and all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This interesting account here, I'd say probably most everybody has heard this account here and probably heard it preached maybe from different angles or perspectives, but this really is pretty much a straightforward message this morning that I think that even from the youngest to the oldest that we can pull something away from it, learn from it, and glean from it. You see kind of a traditional thing here. This is a parable that Jesus Christ is using to teach. He was trying to get people to see and understand many different things. But I tell you, if we're not careful, our life will pass us by and we'll not have the right lens, the right view, and we'll miss some things. And I think sometimes that begins in our youth, at our younger ages, and sometimes it will follow us the rest of our life. Wednesday night, we were talking about buying back the time, and I'm so thankful that God has allowed that some of us can buy back time or redeem the time that he's given to us. And I pray that and trust that if we can reach people before they make bad decisions, that maybe there'll be some heartache that's spared there. And I think that's what this parable speaks to here. And you see a younger person, you see actually two sons here. Verse 11 and 12 gives us the introduction. This is on coming down from things here at the beginning of the first of the chapter. Might touch on that a little bit, but it's all coming down. Things that were lost and now that are found is the topic that you see in chapter 15. And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto him his living. Now that seems kind of fast and straightforward, like it was just something that would be acceptable that you would do. But you think about an inheritance and how that actually works. The payout for the inheritance doesn't take place until the one who owns the property has passed away. And that's when things are divided out. When you look at it in light of this scripture, and I learned this week, a little bit about Jewish tradition, that even though these things could be divided, they still yet could not be partitioned out or parted out until the passing of the one who owns it. So how would that work? You see here, the younger the son here, I guess he'd get a third, and the older brother would get two-thirds, would get more. The older was entitled to more just by age. That's the way tradition worked. But the way that this could be is if the father decided to divide these things out, you could divide it out. Someone could come and look, put for sale sign up for the goods or for the portion that was to the younger son. And they could come and somebody could look and say, I'll offer you this much for it. I'll give you this much for it. But here's the thing, they couldn't take it until the father passed away. So the young son could cash in, so to speak, and he could take his money. He could take what he was doing. He was trading his goods, what was given to him by way of inheritance, and selling to somebody else. But that person could not take ownership of it until that father passed away. But the young son could take his money and go off and do whatever he wanted to. Now, when I stop and I think about that, you know, the father being willing to let this person do that, this young person, I have to say the father probably knew his personality, how he responded to things, why he wanted to do that. I mean, really, it's kind of a slap in the face, to be honest with you. He's saying, I want these things that's due to me because I believe I can handle them better than you can. I don't want to be accountable to you anymore. I don't want to follow your rules anymore. I don't want to be under the burden of doing what you want me to do. I want to do what I want to do. I'm grown now. I want to be able to go out and see the world, experience things, and do things, and I want what's mine, and I want it now. I think you see some impatience. I also look at this, and seeing that word now, I put beside that naive, a lack of wisdom and a lack of judgment. But the father was willing to give those things out in advance, so I believe that maybe there was a learning curve that was getting ready to happen. Now also, and I've said it before, not planning to go this far into the message at the end, the last part of this chapter, but you see the older son that stayed, you think, well, he's the good one. He stayed. Well, you know, he complained. He said, well, you're here getting ready to throw my brother who left a big party. You never threw me a party, and I stayed with you. Neither one of the sons had the relationship with the father that they were supposed to have. A lot of different ways of looking at it. You can look at the religious side of things. There's a lot of people that are religious that do not have a right relationship with God. And you can see those that are rebellious and they absolutely do not have a right relationship with God. But neither one of them are in the right place. That's just how it is. You see this here. Family life is hard. But you see, they wanted these things. And I believe the way that the father, had he done it the way he wanted to, he'd have waited until the son was old enough to understand and appreciate what he was giving to him. That way maybe he'd have a better understanding of how to handle these things, how to take care of this money or this. You know, you think about the father. He worked his whole life up to this point to have provision for his children. He wanted to take care of them. What I see here, I see no reprimand on the father. He listened and did what the sons had asked him to do, or the son here, but I believe he tried to provide and have things, but rightfully that one day was supposed to be theirs. Now you think about the father as he's selling these things off, as the young son is selling these things off, and as the son grabs his money, I'll just read to you what it says here. So he divided the living. You look at verses 13 through 16 and what it says here. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So that many not days after, I believe that's when the son was getting everything together. The for sale signs went up. I'm selling these things. And the father is watching as his son, his youngest son, is selling off the things that he had worked to give to his son. Now, how painful would that be? You know, you think about the person that's doing the purchasing, maybe a good person. Maybe they'll be better with the inheritance than the young son would have been. Probably so. But you imagine that father thinking in his mind, Brother Dale, this is what I had for my son. This is what I wanted you to have. This is what I worked so hard to provide for you. This was something special that I was going to give to you. My provision that I was preparing for you so you would have something. And now you've just sold it to some stranger, given it away with seemingly no true thought, and you've just given it away, and now it's just going to sit here until that other person comes to take it when I pass away. Think about the father. I looked at it from this side, church. The father every day looking out, knowing what third he had just given to his son that was sold to somebody else. And his son would not be there to take it. His son would not be there to appreciate the provision that the father had given to him. And just knowing one day when I pass, somebody else is going to take that blessing. As a father, I look at it this way. I don't want the government taking what I have to give to my son. I don't want anybody taking what I have to give to my son. I want him to have it. I want him to appreciate it. He and Sarah, I want them to have it. And the thought of somebody coming in and stealing those blessings, that bothers me. I'll be honest with you. You know, I think Brother Allen, the father, probably felt that same way. Also see a little bit of tough love here. When you look at it like that, maybe the son had been rebellious. I kind of get that idea. He was one that I know better than you, Dad. You're probably old and archaic. You don't know things. You don't understand things like I do. And I can do so much more with this than what you're doing. Just give it to me and let me go. But yet, I tell you, I see the tough love aspect where he was allowing this to take place. But it doesn't take long till you see shipwreck take place after this. Not too many days later, you see here, the young son took everything. He cashed in everything that the father had given to him, and he went to a far country. He wanted to get away. He wanted to get away from here. He wanted to get out and get away, see the world and get away. Plus, I think, too, he probably didn't want people back home knowing how he's living. You know, you think about it like that. You hear people say, what happens wherever you go stays in wherever you go. Well, it don't. I just want to tell you, it has a way of getting back home pretty quick. The Bible does say, be sure your sins will find you out. If you think you're going to get out somewhere and run off somewhere, people back home aren't going to find out. They'll find out one way or another. It's usually how it goes. Bless your heart, today you have social media. For the most part, people tell what they're into, and nobody has to dig too far to find it. It's just been put out there like that. But you see, he went out and he did not appreciate what the father had given to him. He didn't appreciate it. He burned it up on riotous living. When you look at that word, that means luxurious or festive indulgence. He got the good stuff. He got the expensive stuff. He didn't go and when you was looking at the menu and look for something cheap, he got the most expensive on the menu. Look, I'm living it up. I've got it. I'm rich. I'm wealthy. I've got these things. I don't know necessarily that you'll find a verse in the Bible that says this, but I've been told this: easy money spends quick. If you don't know what it takes or what it took to earn that dollar, you might spend it a lot quicker than the one who earned it. I believe that's the lesson that you'll see here. You think about a person who spent that time to save that money and the purpose behind it, the heart behind it. They're not going to just willy-nilly give it out to somebody. See, the son didn't recognize that. He didn't realize that. He didn't see that. And I tell you, he goes on a little bit further, and it said, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. I tell you, that's the sad reality of when things really hit home sometimes. You get out and you're living life to the fullest. In his mind, he was no holds barred on what he was spending, what he was doing. Then all of a sudden, not only was he out of money, then a famine hit. I know we've probably not seen many things like that here in the United States, what a true famine would look like and being without. But I tell you, this is good monetary advice too. I just want to give this to you. If you're having a good time and things are good monetarily, you might want to save some of that because things could get bad. Things can turn bad on a dime. You think about those who here, this person who had this wealth, if somebody was using it wisely and sparingly, there might have been enough there for him to get through that time of the famine. And I tell you, it's not all about just spending everything you got as soon as you get it. But see, this man, this boy, this young boy, he didn't understand and appreciate what he had been given. And as I look at this also, church, I see this as a family illustration. But I want to give it to you also as a church illustration. This son had no business, and the condition that he was in had no business leaving the protection of his father. He needed to be home. His actions prove that. And I tell you, I say it like this also. There is protection that you have and that you get by staying in a church. People have no business leaving a church. And what I mean by that, a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church, I'm talking about the good stuff and the right stuff. If you think you can handle life on your own, you can't. I can't. If I get out of the power or the presence and the influence of Jesus Christ, I'm in a mess, and it will not take me long, not too many days, just like happened here. You can pretty well put your name right there that accounts for you too. We don't have things figured out outside of the power of God. We don't have things figured out. We don't know when that next famine is going to hit. You think about the importance of staying in church and staying close to God and staying close to His provision. This young man thought he could do it all on his own, and he found shipwreck very quickly. You and I need to stay in the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has to us. And you say, well, what would you give somebody like that? How would you talk to him? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 23 for just a minute. There's some things that the young son had to learn. And you think about it like this. Let's say had the young son known these things, understood these things before he left, he may not have ever left. Proverbs chapter 23. You'll find a lot in Proverbs, a lot of good instruction. It's a book of wisdom, a book of instruction, how to use wisdom correctly, the right use of knowledge. But I can tell you, the world doesn't care about you. The world is going to try to get what it can from you. This gives an illustration of what the world is like. You're going to see here that this young man, he attached himself to a citizen in this country, but I want you to see what this citizen is like. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently that before that what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. It's a warning. He's saying you're cutting your own throat if you're given to a man that has appetite. And that's what this young man was doing. He was living luxurious and spending his father's money. Be not desirous of his dainties, his delicious things, his expensive things, luxurious things, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. These things are temporal things. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. He's talking about being desirous of the things that the world has, and that's what catches the eyes of so many young people today. They see that, and they want that, and they think their life has to be built around that. Verse number 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Gets in his mind, well, if they have that, I want that too. Start being covetous of things and wanting to live a life like that. Says again, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. This king, this person that this young man is trying to be with, he's saying, eat this up, live this up, but you know, the heart of this citizen that you're going to see here in a minute, it was not with this young man. He didn't care about his well-being. The morsel which thou hast eaten, thou shalt vomit it up and lose thy sweet word. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of words. It's hard to talk to somebody that doesn't want to listen. It's hard to teach somebody that does not want to learn. And the hard thing about that, many times a person will be in a position that they don't want to learn until they're in a mess. And then it's like, how do I get out of this? I'll give you this. It's a lot easier to avoid problems and bad situations than to find a way to try to get out of it. Think about that. If there's things that you can avoid, you want to avoid those things on the front end. Remove not the old landmark and enter into the fields of the fatherless. He's talking about taking care of those who do not have fathers, those who don't have people to take care of them. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. And look at verse number 12. This is what the young son had to learn. Apply thine heart into instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. You see that naive young son, he wanted it now. He was very impatient. He wanted to jump into things. But what he's saying here in Proverbs is to apply your heart to instruction. Say, I want instruction. That's why it's important to fall in love with the Word of God. I said this on Thursday night. I want to say it again here this morning. I started working at the university when I was 18. So I didn't go to college there. Took a few classes. But I started when I was 18. And some of my buddies actually started school. So I kind of had that experience that way. I hung out with the folks that they did and what have you. And kind of saw things transition that way. But I tell you what I have seen many times in college, as you see that rotation takes place, is sometimes it's the first time people have ever gotten away from home. First time that they have experienced that, and it's like, I don't have to ask mom and dad anymore. I can kind of just do what I want to. And I want to tell you, some people can handle that and some people can't. And there's a price that comes along with that. And I tell you, young friends, I don't want you to lose any ground that you have right now. I don't want you to come to college and lose ground that you've already got. I want to see you come to college and grow even further. This is a home away from home, and I want you to see it like that. The importance of it, not wanting to get out and sow wild oats and make bad decisions and things like that. I don't want to see that for you. I want to see your experience grow. How much stronger you're going to be if you always keep the Word of God as your foundation and you don't lose that. I'm telling you, worked in law enforcement many years, seen a lot of young people make bad decisions that they cannot reverse, spending the rest of their life in prison. Brother Darren back there, he can attest to that also. I mean, there's bad decisions that people can make, but I'm telling you, if you can avoid it, you'll be much happier. You'll be much happier for it. You say, really? You really believe that? I do. Look what happens as you continue on here. You see the life of this. This young man was living righteous living, blowing his money on everything. And then a mighty famine hit the land. And then verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Remember that person I read about in Proverbs? That's the identity of that citizen. That person didn't care about that young man. There's people here, I tell you, wherever you go across the country, across the world, there's people out there you can join yourself to. But they don't care for you. And they absolutely don't care for you like the Father does, I'll tell you that. Somebody that's willing to look after you and take care of you and cares about your well-being, cares about your heart, your soul, and nobody loves you like your Father in heaven. I want you to know that. I thought about this so much, how that would be. How the Father was looking at his son. He's saying, I have all these things ready for him. They're his and they belong to nobody else. And he wants to walk away and turn his back from it. How many times does that happen in church? I'm not talking about just young sons either. I'm talking about old sons and daughters that walk away from what God has for them. The most important thing they have. How bad does that hurt God when he says, I had this for you. And you turned around and just walked away from it like it was nothing. You wasted it. How bad that hurts. How bad that hurts our Father. But you see, he's in a mess and he joined himself to the world and now he's just in a further mess and the man didn't care for him enough. He said, I'll tell you what, just go out there and feed my pigs. Leave me alone. How many of you ever fed pigs? Raise your hand. Yeah, I want to see some hands. You know, I did. That's a whole different world there. I had a pet pig. Okay? I thought I had a pet pig. My mom and dad had a pig, okay? And I remember, I can take you back to the place, and I'm thankful for that. I can still smell that pig pen. I can smell it just as clear, just as concise. I when I smell that, I think of that. I think about Porky. That was his name. You know, that's pretty. That's pretty genuine. You know, you don't hear that much on a pig, do you? But that's Porky. He was my pig, and I remember going out to feed him. I always loved going out in the corner of the yard in his little pen to feed him. Man, it stunk. I mean, it was bad. But I didn't know that. I didn't really look at it that way because he's my little pig, and I got to feed him. And one day I come home, and my pig was strung up, and he wasn't living no more. That's when I found out he wasn't my pet pig. He was Mom and Dad's, and we canned him and all that kind of good stuff, you know. Don't kill your pets. I mean, come on now. Don't kill your pets. I'm an animal lover, you know. But it was good, I have to say. It was good. But now, you think about this. You think about this just a minute. What the son had and what he left and where he found himself to be. Do you think that his father ever intended for him to be in a position that he is going to be feeding pigs versus what the father had for him? Now, I want you to look at this way, way, way deeper, way deeper, way deeper than that. You look at God in heaven. If you could see what he intends for you, and all you got to do is stay with him and stay faithful to him, and that's what he's going to give you, who would walk away from that? Do you really think that you know better for you than what God has for you? Do you really think that? Now, I know people like excitement. I know people don't want to be in the same old thing, and they want new things and stuff like that. And I think sometimes people think that a life for God is boring, but I promise you, friends, it is not. God will take you places you never could have went on your own. You could never go by yourself. He'll allow you to see things, experience things that you never knew that you would enjoy, but good things. If you'll let him direct your path, he will do it. It's amazing. I tell you, I never thought about all these things. When I look back, we talked about this in Sunday school. You know, when you're looking forward, it's kind of hard to see the map sometimes. But when you look back, you see how God has mapped your life and he brought you where you are today. And you're like, that's a pretty good plan, except for the side trips, the detours that I took on my own. There's a difference. I might preach on this sometime. There's a difference in battle wounds and self-inflicted wounds. There's a difference. There's a big difference in that. I'll just leave that there. But you see, he joined himself to somebody he thought somebody big, a citizen. You know, that's somebody prominent. He tried to find somebody. You know, my dad had money. He was taking care of me, and I was well taken care of. Now, I'm down here in this mess. I need to find somebody like that that'll take care of me, but he couldn't. That person didn't care for him like he did. But you see, verse 16, and he would gladly have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He would gladly eat what the pigs had to eat. But nobody'd give it to him. No, that's for my pigs. I ain't giving that to you. I'm not wasting it on you. I want you to see something else. When this Jewish boy left and went to a far country, he is now in a Gentile country. So you think about Jewish tradition, what the father had for him, his son under Jewish tradition, and now that son is off in some Gentile country feeding Gentile people's pigs. You know how low that is? It's as low as the Bible makes it out to be. How that would break the heart of the Father. And how it breaks the heart of our Father when we don't follow His plan, when we don't seek out what He has for us in our lives. But you look at verse number 17, you kind of start seeing a turning point here. That's the beautiful thing about the Bible is, when he gives a space of time, a person was given a space of time. If you want to do it your way, you can see what's going to happen. But then after you see that, there's something that has to take place. This is important to note, these verses here. Verse 17, and when he had came to himself, it was a time that he was willing to be honest with himself. A lot of times people, it is hard to get somebody to that point. People want to say it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. It's all right. It's okay. And sometimes people can't get to that point and they find themselves in a really dark place. But a lot of times through drugs, alcohol, medication, and all those kind of things, they try to mask that, but that's not going to work. You can't mask this kind of thing with stuff like that. It's not going to work. When a person truly comes to himself, they have to realize what they're doing is they're being honest with themselves about coming to the Father. How do I make this right? I'm in a mess. How am I going to make this right? And then he starts recalling back. You know, I think about this church. I thought about, you know that time when Dad was making me do this and all that kind of stuff, and I just wanted my money and I wanted to leave. You know, that day really wasn't that bad. I had a place to sleep. Had a place to, some good food to eat. Didn't have to be around all these pigs and all this mess. And you know, and I knew my Father loved me. Had that fellowship. That right fellowship. I think he started thinking about that. And I think he got homesick pretty bad. How do I get that back? I find a lot of Christians today, they talk to me, they say, I don't feel the fire that I once had. How do I get it back? You go back to the Father and you ask him. It applies for every single one of us. I mean, I tell you, if you have a sin that's looming over you, you ask God to forgive you, you repent of it, you turn of it, and guess what? You can be back in fellowship with the Father. The devil wants to make it out like it's an impossible task, but it's not. It's not. You think about the best welcoming homes in the Bible. This is among one of them. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. Even my father's servants are living better than I am. I mean, you know, he's pretty sick. Had this money. I thought I had it. I wasn't going to look back. I didn't want to go back home as a failure. That's what the devil would try to have him believe. You went out here and you failed and you blew it. Well, yeah, but guess what? You have a loving Father back home. That's the thing to remember here. And I want you to know this morning. Regardless what your relationship is with your earthly father, you have a loving heavenly Father in heaven that wants you to come home. I want you to know that. Everybody's not in the same circumstances and set a situation and what have you, but I want you to know your heavenly Father is always there. And he will never leave you or forsake you. But he came to himself. And then verse number 18, you see, this is a turning point. This is when you have to start swallowing pride. That's a hard thing to do. But it's the best thing you can do. If you're lost this morning and you're sitting on pride and worried about what other people think, forget about all that. Worry about what's between you and your heavenly Father. He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, if you'll just let me be one of your servants, I just want to come home. I'll be happy just to be in the building if you'll let me come back home. That's how bad it got. And I think maybe in a way that was him. He realized the damage that he had done, the sorrow that he had caused. And I want to say this right here. All the while, the father was back at his home with the other son. All the while, I know that he was wondering, where's he at? The number one thing he was concerned about was not when he was going to pass away and somebody else was going to take the goods that he had for his son, but he wanted to know the well-being of his son. Where's he at? Where's he at? How's he doing? You know, here's the thing. Yeah, that might belong, these things. That one-third of my inheritance or his inheritance might be gone. But guess what? I can take care of him if he'd come back home. He could be back under my watchful care. That's what the father wanted. The son didn't see it that way. A lot of times we look at people, and I think we look at them how they would deal with us. Like they might deal harshly with me, so therefore I've got to deal harshly with them. It ain't like that with God. He loves you. He's a loving Father and he wants the very best for you. There's too much in the Bible that talks about that for me to say otherwise. The good thoughts that he has towards you and me. But he's saying here, I want to come back home. I will go back to him and I'll say, if you'll just let me be a servant, I will gladly just be a servant. In verse number 20, he said, and he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father was looking for him every day. Did you know that? You see, the other son that was here didn't have a good relationship with his father. You see, the son that left didn't have a good relationship with his father. But you know, the The father was always looking for a good relationship with both of his sons, always. That's what he wanted. So if you've been here every Sunday for the last whatever, but you're far off, guess what? You can still come back. If this is your first time here, you can still come back to the Father. But he goes on to say, and no more worthy to be called thy son, and make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, I believe he meant that at that point in time. I believe he meant it. You know, I think that the devil would like to make you think that you're too far gone to ever come back. That would be his greatest, that'd be his greatest victory. Say, no, you crossed the line somewhere, you've sinned too much and you can't come back. And people will get that in their head, and that's not the case. I want you to know your Heavenly Father loves you way more than that. He was looking for him to come back. If he didn't care about him, he wouldn't have been looking for him, let alone run out to him. And he ran, he fell upon his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it upon him, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. You know how exciting that is? That's all that the father wanted. It wasn't about the things. We get locked in our minds sometimes. I believe this. We get locked in our minds sometimes. We pray for things to happen. We pray for things to come into our possession, and we get locked on those things, and we think that God is just a vehicle to get us things. Can I tell you this morning, that ain't right. I want you to know this morning, the prize is what you have with Jesus Christ. The prize is what you have with the Father, the relationship you have with the Father. You think at this point the son cared anything about material things? He just wanted to be taken care of by his father. He wanted to be back home. That was the most important thing. Boy, it took him a hard lesson to learn that, didn't it? There's too many mistakes to be made that we think we can make all of them and then try to turn it around and make it right. But I want you to see the love that the father had. The father just brought him back in and treated him just like he was his son. There was no break. And that's exactly what the Lord does for you and me. If you repent and you return unto him, you ask him for forgiveness, that is exactly what he does for you and me. Look what it says here, verse 24. I'm closing with this. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. All he wanted was that relationship back. I want to tell you this morning, that's what the Lord wants with you. He wants that relationship back. When you go back and you think about all the things where this began, Luke 15:10, it says this. It says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. That's what this story is all about. One that was willing to come back home. The father was more than willing to say, welcome home. That's all he wanted. That's all he wanted. If you will stand with me this morning, I'll ask the ladies to come to the instruments. That's the message.